number one independent podcast company in the fucking world. Count the Dings presents Vom. It is his own network. If you're looking for black culture, if you're looking for black entertainment, if you're looking for black perspectives, you get it here. And we've got five shows on this network. You're listening to the OG show right now. On Wednesdays, you get the Wednesday sermon with Naima Cochran and Karan J. Phillips. On Thursdays, you get Woke Bros with Waz and Nando. On Fridays, you get Growing Up the Same with Black Trey and Jason Madison, produced by John Gervais. But this one right here, on Mondays, you get Crazy Sexy Cool with Liz, Meek, and B. And I want to start there. I don't know if you guys listened to their episode this week. If you haven't, please go ahead and give it a listen. It dropped on Monday. And they had a lot of interesting things there about squirting, how to squirt. I did not know that women could do things to ease up the squirting process for them. And they were very educational there. But one of the things that they talked about that I thought was really interesting was the Quavo and Sweetie revealed like how Quavo slid into her DMs. He put like the little snowflake in there. And now all these women all over, I guess, the internet are getting snowflakes in their DMs by broke-ass niggas. But I was wondering, what's the craziest thing you've done to shoot your shot, whether it's a DM, whether it's in person, whether it's to a friend, whatever it was? What's the craziest thing you've done to shoot your shot?
The craziest thing? Probably just the eyeball emoji, bro. I don't think I ever graduated to some other shit. I seen niggas roll a ball, like put the dot, dot, dot with a soccer ball. Like, oh, I lost it in here. Niggas is creative, bro. But like, that snowflake shit was probably like the most iciest and funniest shit, because niggas was sending it to Roz, and then niggas was sending it to like hella chicks, bro. Like, it was, I mean, you know, you might actually strike gold, but most niggas is losing their privilege to DM women too.
How's that happen?
They
block you, or they pretty much you get blocked.
My dumb ass, I was like, wait, they could take away your DM privileges?
Sick.
Like, in general. Derv, what's the craziest thing you shot, the craziest way you shot your shot?
It would probably, I didn't do anything wild, like, in the DM. But, I mean, it would have to be DM, right? Because, I mean, that's about as, because anything we did as a kid with, like, having somebody say something to somebody, whatever the case may be, that was just the norm. So, for me, it was just, like, sliding in the DM. I have yet to do what Trey did, the eyeballs.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like, I actually say something.
Eyeballs,
you know what I mean?
You know what? Actually, before InstaDM, which was an app for Instagram, I went back, like, 67 weeks on a chick's page, like, this was 2012, bro, because you couldn't DM.
Oh, I've done that.
This is back before Android users could use
Instagram.
You
leave your number, and then you delete it real quick after she get it.
Nice.
So that's 2012. Yeah, bro.
Well played. I like that.
Leave your
number. The wildest thing I ever did was I walked up to a girl, and I said to her, she was talking to this dude, and then the dude left. This was in Vegas. Beautiful girl. This girl was gorgeous. She was talking to this dude, and he was like a little chubby, overweight. Yeah, like jeans. He had a shirt tucked in, short sleeve shirt with a pocket, a chest pocket. Like, this dude was just a herb, right? So as soon as he goes to the bathroom or whatever, I slide right up and say, "Hey, what's a pretty girl like you talking to a dude like that, man?" And she said, "Oh, you know, he's got a great personality." I said, "Personality? I got a great personality. Come on, you can do so much better." And she looked at me and she said, "No, he's got a great personality. Do you have a great personality?" And I said, oh, no, I got no personality, because I realized she was hooking. Yeah. And my man didn't go to the bathroom. He went to the ATM, to to cash out. And so
Andre Iguodala.
Yes. And yeah. No wifing in the club at all. Moral of the story is I shot my shot. Like I thought it was a pretty aggressive move, but my target was not quite probably what I should be going for.
You didn't necessarily need to shoot your shot.
No, I didn't.
It could have been way more
that. Yeah, I could have called timeout.
He shot at his wallet.
Point being, though, Crazy Sexy Cool. It is on the Bomb Network. It comes out on Mondays. Three beautiful, sexy mothers who live in Las Vegas. That's right. They are mothers, but they still live in their life. I believe B just came back from Tulum, where she had a girls' trip out there. Lots of funny stories. I laughed a lot. Listen to the podcast. You guys should listen to it, too, if you don't already. But for us, today we got three different pieces of content we're going to talk about. As always, we'll tell you where you can watch them. But if you didn't watch them, don't worry. We have a way of making this shit interesting. We have Lovecraft Country, which we've been following on HBO. There's only one episode left after this week. We have a new miniseries that we're watching called John. Oh, it's called, what's it called? Sure, I keep fucking up. It's not called John Brown. It's about John Brown.
This was The Good Bird or something like that.
Good Lord Bird.
Good Lord Bird. Yeah. Good Lord Bird.
Y'all had me searching John Brown and I was striking.
But you go John Brown Showtime, it comes up. Like that's how I found it.
Yeah.
But we're going to start with a movie that's out on HBO Max. It's not on the HBO app. It's not on HBO regular. It's on HBO Max. It's called Charm City Kings. It's produced by Will Smith's company, Overbrook Entertainment, which I believe that's a high school, ain't it, Jerb? Overbrook? Yeah.
Yes, sir.
It stars Meek Mill, and I don't think it stars anyone else that I've ever heard of.
The mom looks
She
familiar.
Did look familiar, but I could not recognize anybody. I'm going to say this before everybody descends with their... It's a boring movie, but it's not a bad movie, if that makes sense. Like, it wasn't corny to me. I didn't think it was corny, and I didn't think it was, like, just, oh, my God, shoddily done. I thought the actors all did a great job. I just thought it was a boring-ass story. Maybe it's because I'm not into bikes. It's a very, like, biker boy-type movie, and so that might be it. But Trey, you said something in the group chat that I was thinking the entire time in the movie, but I was like, man, I don't want to be that guy. I won't bring it up. That's an observation you keep to yourself. And then I realized we all had the same observation, which is the Baltimore accent. Very hard. Very hard on the ears. A lot of tew and you and you. It's funny. I thought the movie was actually in Philly up until someone started talking. Like, oh no, this is Baltimore. So Trey, you asked a question to the internet. What was the question?
So, what city has the worst accent? Not the best, the worst. And I'm getting some interesting answers.
What do people say?
So, Baltimore, and it's not even close. Easy. Boston, massholes.
Ooh, the white guy Boston accent is pretty bad.
Somebody said Baltimore. Again, be more in Boston, which seems like it's going to be the most popular answer. They want to see Toronto, but then it says, but it's also the best. So they kind of got a love hate with that.
Toronto?
And then this might offend Jerv, but it says Philly Hoagie Mouth. I don't know
what that
means.
Hold on, Jerv, what does Philly Hoagie Mouth mean?
I have never heard Philly Hoagie Mouth ever.
Okay.
I got nothing for it. Except for the fact that we call everything that y'all call subs and everything, they're actually called hoagies, which is, I don't understand why you guys call them subs or heroes or whatever.
It's shaped like a submarine.
It's a hoagie.
Yeah, that's personal.
It's a hoagie, bro.
But I'm saying shaped like a submarine. That's why they call it that.
Yeah. Okay. I hear you.
No, I'm not here to fight. I'm not a sandwich. I'm not Earl the sandwich, bro. Like,
Shout out to Earl the
sandwich. I don't care about the name of a sandwich that bad.
Yeah, I'm not trying to date it. I'm just trying to.
We got Manchester. Ben Harrison.
Oh, like Manchester, like England.
England,
yeah, they do have an ugly accent.
White Philly.
It's a light flex.
What is White Philly?
White Philly would be a hip, And I,
who's someone famous who has a white Philly accent?
Wahlberg, right?
It's a very much.
No, no, not white. Not Wahlberg.
He's from Boston. He's from Boston. It's a very it's like an Italian New York kind of accent.
Okay.
But like with just a little more extra like. People say we have a southern accent compared to up north in New York and all them. So I guess it would be with like a little bit
southern
of
southern twang to an Italian
twang to it or whatever. But I can't stand that fucking
the
accent.
White Philly accent.
Oh my god! Yeah, it just screams. Yeah, it's very triggering, bro. Like, and then, you know, I'm not saying everybody is or whatever, but it's just very. That area where you find that accent, it's been, I mean, probably since I was a kid, there's always been some sort of like racial, some racial shit going on down there. Not even just on like black people or like brown people, like even just amongst like white people, it's crazy. Oh, wow. Like it's the weirdest.
Shout out
area.
To white Philly. What else we got, Trey?
Cincinnati.
I don't know what a Cincinnati.
I don't know what a Cincinnati accent sounds like either. Alabama.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that shit sound boof.
It's country, yeah.
And then
country. It's cool.
It ain't the worst. Sheboygan, what is that?
Oh, Wisconsin. Oh. I've been watching Fargo a lot lately, right? I've been through the first three seasons because season four is on right now. But all the people from Minnesota and Wisconsin, mm-hmm. Oh dear, yeah, like it's pretty bad. It's not the worst, but it's pretty bad.
So easy call is going to be Boston and Baltimore is what we came up with.
Yeah.
Now, we had a live show in Boston. I don't have no problem with Boston like that. The accent is pretty nasty because I think about the Departed.
You know what I'm saying?
Departed. And then obviously Baltimore, I think about The Wire.
That was a good movie, by the way.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Which is one of the best TV shows. But like, I couldn't imagine messing with a shorty from Baltimore.
Yeah,
that has like
shows? Is it one of the best TV shows?
Shoes.
Yo, man. The first time I went to Maryland, I'll never forget. I went to Wendy's and I ordered the nuggets, and the girl asked me, "What kind of Seuss do you want?" And I was like, "What? Like, what kind of Seuss do you want?" I was like, "What the fuck, Dr. Seuss? Like, what are you talking about?" I say, "Seuss."
But she was
Seuss.
Trying to say sauce.
She was trying to say sauce, man. But she's looking at me like I'm an idiot. Seuss.
Oh no.
What's Seuss like for your nuggets? Barbecue, honey mustard.
I always think about Snoop from The Wire.
Yeah.
I didn't mind her accent. Nah, but it was really strong. Like,
yes.
It was like,
Snoop.
Yeah. Because
Snoop was like, actually from Baltimore. Snoop was actually a hitter from Baltimore, not an actress.
Look, I ain't got no problem with much love to Baltimore. It is just Atlanta too. You went to college in Atlanta. Could you explain Atlanta? Because like when Atlanta really get the fuck off, when they like T.I., when he really home, I don't know what he be saying.
I understand it, and to me, it actually sounds funny. They make me laugh. I always think about my man Barry Hefner.
Right?
What's up,
Boomhauer from King of the Hill?
Oh no, not Boomhauer. No, man. Boomhauer. By the way, if you watch King of the Hill with subtitles on, and he actually says words. I never knew that. I thought they were just fucking around, and he just mumbling. But he's actually saying words, and when you hear it and you read the words, like, oh yeah, he is saying that shit. So shout out to King of the Hill for that. Yeah, man, I think about my man Barry Hefner. You know, he works at Dreamville. He's the manager for JID, for Earth Gang, a couple other acts or whatever. But he's got like what I would call a very typical Atlanta accent, and them niggas always make me laugh, man, because it's always funny to me. I'm surprised LA didn't make the list. For the longest time, man, all we did was whenever someone said they were from LA, all we did was start, oh, you gonna get in the core? Oh, we just love making fun of that accent. That one and New Orleans. It don't sound like English half the time, man. New Orleans and LA were just like, really? That's how y'all really talk, man?
I mean, y'all do feel like, New Yorkers do feel like they the most American of all, or just clear ear.
It's a very clear.
Yes, it is. It is.
Nah,
it ain't great either.
That New York shit, wow.
It ain't great either. It's just got the attention, and a lot of people come from there too. That's how I look at it. Like, especially like rap, a lot of stuff that's popular. you're going to hear a New York accent before you hear anything else. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. So, like, it comes to natural ear. If you go to even out the country, you're going to be like, oh, that's a American accent. Versus us, like how Sebastian Telfair was saying on Through the Fire. He like, if you ain't from New York, you a country boy.
Pretty much. I mean, we looked at guys, no offense, Jerk, but Philly, you're like, you country.
Or in, I mean, in another way, calling him Bama. He Bama as hell. Bama's.
Well, I call someone a Bama the other day. Oh, I called Jason Jones a Bama. Why did I call him a Bama? He took offense. I was like, yeah, no. Oh,
wait.
Oh, we're talking about pizza. Talking about pineapple on the pizza. And my home, you remember Sharika, right, Jerv? Sharika, yeah. Used to work, ESPN Radio. She might still be there, to be honest. No, I think she's at the Undefeated now. But Sharika was talking about, I love pineapple on pizza, and there's nothing you can say about it. And Ryan Hollins was like, yeah, I told you, da-da-da. And then Sharika says, yeah, but I don't have tomato sauce on my pizza. And I'm like, because I'm allergic. I'm like, then you don't get to be in this conversation.
That's a different type of vibe, bro. You got tomato sauce on it.
Sit down. If, but the I moment will you say, it's like me judging sushi and I'm allergic to shellfish. Like, I'm, by virtue of my allergy, I'm out of this conversation.
I will say, you can't take my word. Pineapple and Canadian bacon is very L.A. I don't know why, because I used to be my favorite pizza. That used to be my favorite pizza when I was a kid.
And I'm like, I've never heard anybody say
so, this. So it's pineapple and Canadian bacon. It's called Hawaiian, but I actually thought it was fire when I was a little kid, and then I jumped off of that shit once. It's like, it's because it's ham and pineapple and cheese. Like,
that's good.
I mean, I wouldn't do it now. Jerv. Huh?
No, Jerv is trying to process.
Two things. One, I don't really feel like anybody's fighting y'all for the Hawaiian pizza. Like if y'all saying y'all made, y'all got that.
I don't think we claiming it like that, but I'm just saying, like, in general, like, Domino's used to be like, yo, Hawaiian. Or you say Canadian bacon, which is not really, it's Canadian bacon and pineapple. Damn. That's it. And it's like really the ham kind of like twisted on like some bullshit on top of the cheese and melted. And you looking like, all right. And as a little kid, it was like, just me trying out different toppings. I think I was pumped off of it. But, like, as an adult, that shit is trash. Because I don't like on my cheese now. Like, it fucks up everything. I don't like my cheese being sweet. So, pineapple now in general just, like, makes me, like, I can't fuck with pineapple.
I don't even understand how y'all do that. Like, I can't even fix myself to say I'm going to eat pineapples on my pizza. Like, I see people get it. Teacher's home.
But you know what I grew on?
What's that?
Mushrooms. I hated mushrooms as a kid. I grew on mushrooms.
I fooled mushrooms.
I hate olives. Like, if you bring olives, like, you have to sneak olives on me. And what I mean by that is, like, it has to be, like, mixed in with cheese or something like that. Why do black people make enchiladas with olives?
They don't have
They're not
have
supposed to. No.
That's
no.
not right.
No. You go to a Mexican restaurant, there's going to be no olives in there, bro. Black people love, I don't know how we created that. You go to your auntie house, nigga, it's an olive. Like, you're going to find all kind of shit that enchilada. They ain't supposed to be. Black people done found a way to make their own type of fucking enchiladas. I love it, though.
They're just throwing shit in there. They're just putting more shit in there.
Surprise! The fact that I went to go to the, nah, for real. Because one of my best friends is Mexican. I was like, bro, y'all making this shit wrong. How I'm telling them they making this shit wrong. Man. I'm like, bro, this shit ain't right.
This is like Chris Cody, one of the producers on the Levitard show, was trying to tell everybody else that picadillo, which is a very Cuban dish, has raisins in it. Bro, that day, I was in the studio. I was like, oh, bro, they about to roast his ass now.
That's crazy.
But if you don't know the Levitard show, pretty much Chris is the only white guy there. Like in that the team of producers. Billy is Cuban. Mike is Cuban and Dominican, I believe. And Roy is black. So basically, Chris on his own right here. And like, he told them how they make it. And then he included, like, it was the whitest ingredient he could have gone with. Raisins. Oh, my God.
Wow. Raisins do not go in anything. They really don't. I mean, there's like a handful of things.
Raisin bran? I mean, outside of cereal and muffins.
Like raisin bran crunch.
And, like, maybe raisin bread. But, like, When did we start? Who was a genius to think that they could sneak raisins in food?
I'm gonna tell you,
like, because what is it, like coleslaw salad and shit that they be putting it in?
Oh my god, they put it in potato salad. They love putting in the potato salad.
Who does that shit?
Why? That doesn't even make sense.
Who do that? White people?
White people.
Oh, come white on, people, bro. No. No,
that's why we don't be letting them bring the potato salad.
No, that's foul. Hey, Rob, I know you on the ones and twos. What's a dish that white people have fucked up for you?
Fucked up for me?
Well, just for your culture, you know, like a dish that is popular in your culture, and you're like, nah, bruh.
Oh wow. How do you fuck up flan?
Amin will fight you over flan too, by the way. He loves flan.
They make it with jello.
Try to make it like a jello. And when you make a flan, you kind of have to bake it. You know what I'm saying? But they make it like a jello in a sense of like trying to be like a gelatin type. You know, yeah. Like a flan is kind of like a cheesecake, but softer. Texture to a cheesecake, and white people try to bake it like a flan and make it real jiggly. It's no.
Shout out to my Spanish people, but I do not fuck with flan.
What?
We have this argument every time, bro. Because you would post the flan.
There's different kinds. So you can have like a really sweet kind. You can have a really like a strong savory kind. Like for me, I don't like Dominican flan because that shit is mad sweet. Like, I don't fuck with it at all. But, like, for me, like, Puerto Rican, like, the way my family does it, it's just our standard, you know, we don't put, like, extra mad shit in it. I know some people do, like, I forget what the fuck it is. It's, like, some little cinnamon sticks that they bake in with it. I'm just like, nah.
Oh, yeah.
Look, I know Amin will post that shit. Every time he posts it, I'll be like, yo, that shit is trash. This is
Cuban flan. Okay. Yeah.
So that's little different. It's not as sweet though. Like a Dominican flan is really sweet.
So when sweet. I get to New York, Rob, you're gonna listen. I'll pay your family, whoever it is, bro, for a slice of the flan, secret recipe, whoever it may be, bro. And then I'm gonna give my
grandma will make that. My grandma will make flan just to make flan.
All right, tell her it's just a housewarming gift for me, and then I'm gonna give my review.
And if you hear around Christmas time, you get the cup of coquito too on the side.
Oh, coquito. Shout out to coquito, man. Hey. Hola, coquito. Yeah.
I might just need you to bring the coquito.
You want the coquito?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of like the milky alcohol. What? Like, it's cool.
I got wavy, bro. Can we talk about East Coast liquor?
Yeah.
Let's talk about East Coast liquor. Let me tell you. I told this story before.
Is up there with me. Coquito is up there with me.
Uh-huh. What else? E&J?
Nah, I can't. So you know what's funny? E&J is my mom's favorite drink.
Really?
Really? Oh, I don't know why she's not a Hennessy person, bro. Like, I don't know.
No, I'm going to tell you, for me, E&J was the first liquor I drank.
Irk and Jerk.
Easy Jesus, right? And so I remember, like, because I was drinking with my cousin and his friends, or not my friends or whatever. And we literally used to go sit at the bottom of a building, like on the back entrance where the laundry room is, a random building. Nobody lived in that building that we knew. And we drink there and we call it the spot. And my little cousin Ebe would always say, man, I can't wait till I'm old enough to go to the spot, because he thought it was like a club. He didn't know. We were just literally like sitting on the corner and drinking, right? So, but anyways, I was drinking E&J and I was like, okay, I think now I'm going to be a drinker. I went back to college and I was like, I'm a drinker now. And I remember we went to the club. And I went to the bar and I asked for an E&J. And the guy was like, we don't have E&J. And I'm like, what kind of establishment doesn't carry E&J? I could not understand. I didn't know it was like, it wasn't all that or whatever. The other thing was, I didn't know what chasers were, because we used to drink it straight. So I literally didn't know what a chaser was. I was like, what? Like, you guys are mixing it with like soda? Why? Someone said, we got to go get chasers. Like, what are chasers? So. But E&J, I feel like E&J is a very East Coast. I didn't. That's funny to me that your mom likes it, because I would think it's a very East Coast drink.
So it's such a it gets a bad rep when you think of like, yeah, because they just think of it like in a poverty way. You know what I'm saying? Like, obviously we got so many scammers, bro, on our side that everybody rides the hot hand of whatever the rappers say. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
so
right,
like,
right.
You don't really, there's no livelihood. Because my very first drink was 151 and pineapple. So like,
oh, shout out to 151.
It was terrible, by the way.
I remember I went through a 151 phase, because I convinced my buddies, like, yo, 151 is so much stronger. It's more bang for the buck. It costs the same as regular alcohol. Why are we paying for 80 proof when we can get 151?
Yeah, I mean, that's terrible, bro. I'm sorry that you even was convincing cats like that, just tearing a hole. The thing, what I've also learned, too, is that when people want to take shots, they're miserable. You know what I mean? When you buy shots for people, you just want them to feel miserable too. Because there's nothing. I have never seen somebody smile off a shot. It's always the worst face fucking ever. Like, you're like, yeah, nigga, I just got a divorce. All right, nigga, I got the first round. And you like, all right, cool. And you go, and then everybody's like, ah. Like, ugh. I've never seen one happy person. If somebody's smiling after taking a shot, they're a serial killer.
By the way, shout out to Trey, who posted the video after the bubble was over. With the Magnum bottle of Michelob Ultra, he just said, shout out to Michelob, and then just took it to the head, and I was like, Jesus Christ, Trey.
Getting after it, bro. Listen, that's 105 days of content, man. Shout out to Michelob, man. You know.
What happens to the Bubble Life account now?
I mean, hopefully, archive-wise, I hope people can go back and look back at this as, you know, as a good time, or if we get another bubble. Who knows?
It comes right back.
So do not unfollow. Stick around.
Did y'all do a greatest hits?
So we just did a send. We just sent off Miami, respectively. Okay. So, you know.
All right.
We do our Gone Fishing, which we gave TNT a run for their money, and then we got a special announcement coming up too. That's going to be pretty well received. So
dope. Shout out to Bubble Life. Does anyone have anything to say about Charm City Kings? I just thought it was boring.
Honestly, I would say it's better than what was the biker movie back in the
biker
day?
Biker Boys. That was corny, yes.
Yeah, it was better than Biker Boys. And like, again, shouts to Baltimore. Shouts to the bikers that really do this shit. It's a positive, you know, shouts to McMill. I thought he did a really good job as far as his acting and what he was trying to portray and be in that positive role. But again, Jerv, we too old for this. You supposed to be promoting this right now, bro. But if you a hood dude and you not from that culture and you from another, like if you from the South, you from the West, I would say maybe if you from the Midwest, you're not going to fuck with this movie at all. Like, you're gonna tease the movie for the accents. You're gonna not understand why this little kid fucking keeps getting in trouble, which kids do get in trouble all the fucking time. Right. And then also, you know, huge spoiler alert. They left out prime example. It's 2 hours of a movie and they left out the example of why Meek is looking out for him. Obviously, he knew his brother, but like, what's the relationship between the cop, the brother? Like, the main shit of why everybody doing so much for Lil Mouse. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But also, wanting Mouse to... It reminded me of Above the Rim when fucking Kyle Watson kept fucking up. And then Shep takes the bullet and he gets to go to college or some stupid shit, you know? But I don't know, man.
Sure.
For 2 hours, that's a hot look.
2 hours is long.
That's a long time to commit to a movie.
It's a long time of not a whole lot happening.
Coronavirus 2 hours, too. Coronavirus 2 hours is 5 hours on the low.
Because
that's a different type of 2 hours. It's a panoramic, as Gunna said.
Panoramic.
I love hood niggas, man. That nigga said it's a panoramic. We need our money.
Derv, what was you saying?
I mean, I thought the movie was crazy boring. I thought it was ass, kind of, sort of. But I did like the bikes, but I meant that might just be the Philly in me. Like, I thought all that bike shit was dope. That shit really is, like, you know, I grew up seeing, you know, cats ride or whatever the case may be, family members ride or whatever. So that was always interesting. I just never did it. So that part was dope. But, they make you wait. What, it was like a 2 hour movie. An hour and a half in, you finally find out why Meek's helping dude out. You don't find out what the cop's doing. You know what I mean? Like, and then what happened to my mans and them? The other part of the bike gang. Like, they just disappear. Like, homie, the other kid just disappears and goes, and it's just weird.
Like I said, it's not bad. It's just boring. To me, that... Like, I went in and I was like, watch them do some whack ass shit or whatever. And I was like, nah, it wasn't like, it wasn't whack. It wasn't corny. It just wasn't interesting. You know, that's probably why it's on HBO Max and not like on HBO. But, you know, shout out to whoever made it. I hope you get another opportunity to make more stuff. And shout out to all the actors. Like, that's the one thing I was really impressed. Because I kept waiting to want, I wanted to roast the actors for being terrible. And I was like, nah, they're actually doing a good job. They're doing a good job. So I can't be mad at that.
The outside of the kids reminded me of the kids from The Shy. Like, I feel like they just literally said, like, we need a trio, and somebody watched The Shy, and they literally just
paid. Let me get a fat kid, and let me get
a kid with braces about that life, and then a dark skinned kid that's really a good kid.
He likes animals. You know what doesn't feature great acting? Lovecraft Country. Jesus Christ, these overacting ass niggas, man.
I wish I could see my face on this, bro, when you said that. I thought this was the best, most explanatory episode. This was the best one.
I actually didn't think this one was that bad.
I'll take a Jerv that bad. Because if Jerv say it's not that bad, that means it was actually a solid one.
Between
we're not going
Tick taking off his glasses every time he's upset, like, and then he kind of blink hard. The Omar from The Wire with Montrose, like, crying in every scene. He doesn't just stay crying. He's just crying the whole time. Eyes wide open, tears coming out, his mouth open. That's every scene in this show. And don't even get me started on fucking Letty. Like, she can't have an emotion. She can't have an emotion that doesn't have her bug-eyed and shaking and, like, shaking her face. I laugh every time she's kind of, like, trying to be dramatic. It's funny. It is comical to me. I guess to kind of explain some stuff in this episode where they go back in time to go get the book from what's his name's mama's house, or I guess his grandma's house or whatever. I don't know.
So listen, we get the actual Tulsa, right? So we actually get the handshake emoji where we got another show meets another show and they shake hands. We got Watchmen and Lovecraft, the same Tulsa Massacre. That's where they were at. And obviously, it's like Lovecraft, Watchmen, Back to the Future in the middle. That's what we got. You know what I'm saying? That's where we were at. It's just pretty much watching, you know, Doc and Marty watching future self. Like, that's you, Marty. You know what I mean? Like, that's your mom. Don't run into him. And probably, you know, I tried to take the seriousness of it because it was some obviously, you know, I do the storytelling that they're trying to give. I understand that part. And, like, sometimes it's just kind of like a stretch because the fiction shit is just kind of wild with the time traveling and Hippolyta's hair going blue and shit like that. Like, it's a wild show.
Here's my question.
Is she Storm
now? Yeah, she's Storm. That's exactly what it looked like.
Oh, God.
Her eyes were white and electricity was coming. Like, they were borrowing heavily off of stuff. But to me, what I didn't understand was this is, you know, Montrose is like, this is where the white guys jumped us and they shoot Thomas in the head. Thomas is a little gay friend, I guess. And so I'm like, but then my brother and your mom come and they rescued me. And then some dude comes and, you know, says, I got this kid or whatever.
And he looks down and it's the bat.
and then he beat everybody ass, whatever. And I'm watching, I'm like, hold up. Didn't this nigga just shoot somebody? Why am I sitting here watching a guy swing a bat? And why am I fighting? Why am I like, bang, bang, bang?
You had one bullet, bro. Like, yeah, Aaron Burr.
Yeah. Yo!
You remember that commercial? Aaron Burr!
The milk commercial.
Shout outs to that, nigga. That's classic, by the way. That give me my classic ding, too, Rob. Even if we still do those. I don't know if we still do those. But yeah, I need my ding.
Yo, man. Aaron Burr, that's a good one. Nah, man, I watch this show and I'm annoyed by the way they talk. I'm annoyed by the storylines. I'm annoyed by how the characters behave. Here's a question, though. So in one scene, Letty is talking to Tick's grandmother.
Grandma. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And explaining to her, because they're under attack and the house on fire. He's like, I got to get out of here. I'm not going to sit here and die. And Letty says, you can't change anything because if you do, it might impact whether Tick lives. And if Tick doesn't live, then maybe my baby doesn't get born or whatever. If you were approached by a time traveler who is basically, you're their ancestor, right? And let's just assume they say enough stuff to prove, okay, I believe that you are who you say you are. Would you risk your life so that they might be born? Not even risk your life. Would you sacrifice your life so that they might be born?
It's going to take hell of a lot to convince me. That was too easy. She took the L way too easy. She was like, a word? I bet. Let me grab this book.
Oh, you pregnant? Okay.
I bet. I know a woman with child. She felt it. She got them vibes, nigga. She was like, oh, she ain't lying about this baby. And she dressed wrong. Look at her hair.
Look at her shoes.
She was sniffing her out. What you doing? What you doing in that
house? What's up with them shoes? Yeah.
She had the Jordan 8s on with the wings. Yeah,
I was looking at you when she was running down the block from the white people. I'm like,
how is she running with a baby like that? She got wheels.
I'll tell you how. The Air Max 95, the latest technology in sneakers. Now, I'm just like, yo, man, like, there's just a lot going on there. And I'll be honest with you, if someone came to me and said, well, first of all, someone came to me and said, Amin, I'm your great grandson. That's one thing. But if someone came to me and said, yo, Amin, I go out with your great grandson. I'm like, get the fuck out. Like, I believe you 100%. I don't give a fuck if that nigga alive or not. Like, you need to get out of my face. I'm not about to die right here because so you can live. How do I know you ain't a piece of shit? Like, how do I know you ain't? Like, I know how I'm living my life. I know how I'm raising my kids. I don't know how you are, man. You're just a stranger to me. Get the hell out of my face. No chance. There's no chance. It's like, I believe you. I'm not dying today. We're going to have to take that risk. On the other hand, what Montrose was trying to do, that was fucked up. Like, Montrose was like, I got to save him. And Tick is like, if you save him, I might not exist. And Montrose was like, that's a risk I'm willing to take. I'm like, what? Like, what kind of thing? We know each other, man. You didn't even hold that dude's hand, man. Oh, my God. What a goddamn show, but man.
I think it went back to, obviously, that was kind of the foreshadowing. I mean, went back to, like, the foreshadowing of Letty actually burning in the crib. So, if you're a smart nigga, you know what I'm saying?
Well, hold on, man. I just got one question. How come she was so fast in the beginning when everybody was shooting her, right? But then when it's...
She got popped, too, on the low.
Right, she got popped. She ate that shit. She, you know, I mean, she kept it moving. But when you got the book and you're trying to get back, all you gotta do is get back. Why must one? Because
she was gangster, bro. It was like Moses or some shit holding the two tabernacles,
bro. Dog, you,
bro.
Look, we waiting on exactly, you. The shit might come out of
this. But I know, but like, still, you know, like, we trying to get the fuck out of here.
You know the show had to be dramatic, my nigga. They gave her the yay, I walked through the valley of the shadow of death. I should feel. Niggas are dropping bombs on her, literally. Bombs. They should have played Bombs Over Baghdad on that shit.
Yo, you know what? I say, for as much as I just shat on that, that was dope seeing, like, the bombs and shit. Because that was, like, that was gangster. To me, yeah, well, not even that. Like being that that's something that no one ever talks about. Like, I don't really remember what they did in Watchmen, but no one ever does it. So, for like, you know what I mean? For them to reenact it that way, I know that's not exactly how it happened.
But some people probably lost their lives like that.
It's based off that shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I thought, for as much as I'm trying to play that, I did actually think that scene was dope. It would have been better shooting rain.
Like, you could slow-mo run her through the fire.
I think she was just and I'm giving it too much benefit of the doubt, but I think she was just too shook about that whole experience of watching Tick's grandma just evaporate.
Burn. Also, she like,
yo, you didn't see the aliens come out the ground. Yeah. Seen your grandma die.
I'm not sure about this.
Okay.
I've never seen anyone burn to death, but I'm pretty sure it doesn't look like that.
Hey, when I think about people dying, I always think about, is it Backdraft where homie tried to jump over the fire and he throws the person and then he just dies and incinerates and he goes, Like, yeah, I've never seen anybody. I mean, I don't want to see anybody.
I don't want to see it either. But I feel like you wouldn't just stand still and scream in someone's face.
Yeah, she was just standing there, just eating that shit, just getting melted like a fucking chocolate bar.
Also, if I'm Letty,
it's doo doo, baby.
Yeah, ain't chocolate. That's doo doo, baby. If I'm Letty, do I not just say, "All right, I'm gonna holler at you though"? And just leave. Like, why are you standing there watching this shit all the way to the end? Staring at it.
She thought it was a Marvel movie and like something was going to happen after the credits.
The shit it is. It is
Marvel. Nick Fury comes show up with the iPad talking about.
Oh my God. The
Avengers initiative.
She was holding that hand for the longest. It would have been gangster if she just would have had the hand still and just was like, dude, like you just touched some hot head shit, like
Terminator, like yeah. Terminator,
like the hand still raw and not melted. I just don't like seeing black people die in TV shows, though. But you know,
well, a lot of them died in the last episode.
Yeah, man, you're right. All right, bro.
So moving on to our next show, what's it called again? Lovebird, Freebird, John Brown,
the Good Bird.
You pick a show and don't.
I don't know his name. I call it John Brown.
It's a Good Bird. I mean, Good Lord Bird.
There's a bird
like
in there. All yeah. right.
Good Lord right. Bird. Because that's the good bird that bird. Yeah, that he finds.
Oh,
shit.
Yeah, the Good Lord Bird. Oh, my God. I didn't even realize that. That was the name of the show. He's talking about the bird. So let me start with this. Prior to watching this, did you guys know the story of John Brown?
No. Never heard of him.
Never heard of it. Okay, I heard of John Brown. He was an abolitionist, and like he was very religious, but he felt like a violent upheaval was the only way to free slaves. I didn't know any details. So as I'm watching this show, at some point I want to sit down and actually read and learn more about this guy and what he was about, because I don't know, you know, how much of this is just fiction and how much of it is real. I know obviously him freeing slaves and killing slavers is real. So I thought one of the great scenes in the first episode, first of all, so there is the scene, the show opens with him at a saloon / barbershop. And he's obviously known among the slaving community that this dude is out here freeing slaves or whatever. So the guy walks in and kind of challenges him. He ends up shooting up the place, but in the process, the guy who was cutting his hair was a slave, gets killed. And so his young son, John Brown, takes him. Except John Brown thinks he's a girl and nicknames him Onions. And everyone after that thinks he's a girl. And so the note I wrote was, poor little nigga, everyone thinks he's a bitch. to the point where like John Brown asks, have you bled yet? And I just started dying. But it made me think of this. What's something that someone was mistaken about you, but you just went along with? Because obviously, you know, I'm not blaming the kid. He has to go along. This is slavery times. And you know, the backdrop is you never like, fix a white person or kind of correct them, because they might kill you over that shit. So you just like go along with whatever, because that's survival. But I know we've all been through situations where someone has said something that was incorrect about you, but just because you don't want to start something, you just say, hey, you let them go along with it. What's something y'all have gone with? I know for a fact, for instance, for me, people fuck up my name all the time. And sometimes I just like, you know what, just... Yeah, you want to call me Ammon? I'm Ammon. I won't correct them.
Ammon is funny.
What are some things? Yeah, it is funny.
I mean, that's Trevani and all that shit. You feel me?
Trevani. But do you correct Trevion. Them?
Or
do you
just absolutely. Absolutely.
But what's something that you haven't corrected them on? You just went along with it.
Trevion.
It doesn't have to be a name. It could be something like, yo, that's my guy Trey. He's from the Bay. And I'm like, actually, I'm not from the Bay at all. But like, because they knew you from something or whatever.
Nah, I normally step in and correct people. I can't just let that shit rot. I'm not prideful. Sure. I'm not prideful about Compton like that. Like, not crazy, crazy. But I'll step in and say, like, yeah, I'm from Compton, not LA. I'm quick to say that. Just to let you know, that's two different.
What's something that you haven't corrected someone in the past? As they're saying this shit about you in front of you, and you're like, yeah, that shit ain't right.
I'm with you. It's my last name. Like, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter what it is. People always get my name wrong. And eventually it's just like, I'm yeah. over it. You know what I mean? It's cool. Whatever, however you pronounce it, it's cool. Like,
especially you know if mean? I'm like, so, yeah. I'm not going to see you again. Like, there's so many times I'm like, I just don't care. I'm trying to think of another one. This one happens a lot where people will say, he used to be the general manager of the Phoenix Suns. I'm like, nah, I wasn't. So, sometimes I let him rock, right? Like, I'm like, you know what? We're getting somewhere with this, so I'm going to let you rock with that one, sir. Survival. Other notes I got here. Where he asked the dude, are you for or against slavery? And they trying to tell him, yo, he's not the dude. He doesn't own any slaves. He just knows the dude that you're looking for. And John Brown says, I would kill his friends and anyone who laughed at his jokes. And I was like, that's gangster as fuck, man. Like, not only am I going to kill anyone that the dude was friends with or associated with, even if a nigga laughed at his joke once, you gone too. You dead to me too.
Very 50 Cent-ish.
Very 50 Cent. Oh, yeah. Anyone who laughed at his jokes. When Onion tells the one dude that he's going to Lawrence, Kansas because he wants to sell trim. Yeah.
The fact that he thought trim was something else. Oh my God. Yeah, he was like, yo. My man, he's like, I've trimmed. My man Bob, he was like, I trimmed like a dozen, like 12 men. I was like, yo, that's crazy. Listen, that's a sick show, man. Sick ass show.
That is a sick ass show. But the funniest shit was my man was trying like, dude, that's not what you think it means. Like, what? Don't you correct me. Yes, that's what I mean. I sell trim. He's like, aren't you a little young to sell trim? No, my pa taught me. I'm like, what? And the funny thing is when he first said it, I was like, But then I thought, oh, you know, this is the 1800s. They didn't talk like that, like us. I didn't know sell trim was a thing back then, or maybe it wasn't. Maybe that's just they did it for the show. Either way, I love how Onion is mad young. You know, like there's just some shit that motherfucker don't know. This is what the other thing I wanted to talk about. So after that, obviously the dude gets real nice to him. And so he sits down and starts telling him about some shit. And Onion's kind of monologue says, men among each other will talk about guns and spit and tobacco. But with a woman, they'll spill their guts about losing their best dog, their dreams and their thoughts about Constellation. And so, what is something that you... Oh, that's because I was listening to Crazy Sexy Cool earlier, and that was one of the things about people who slide in the DMs. What do they talk about? And I think Meek was talking about people who come in with emojis or whatever, where foolishness can just go. But the guys who come in, and they're talking about like philosophy and kind of like where they're thinking like that's the kind of conversation she enjoys, like an intelligent conversation.
And still might get put on scene.
But that's my point, Trey. Like I was thinking about like I don't think I have any earnest conversations with women that I'm trying to sleep with. Like if it's a woman that like I like obviously like I have a professional relationship with or we're friends or whatever. Yeah, what we talk about is what we talk about. But if it's like I'm trying to holler at you, like 99% of the shit I'm saying is not sincere at all. I'm sorry. let me say this. I pretended to like dogs before. Oh, that's your dog? Oh, what's his name? I've done that whole thing.
You don't like dogs?
It's not that I hate dogs. I'm just like, I'm cool. If your dog is cool, I'm cool. That means he sits over there, I sit over here, we good. You good? Oh, good. All right, okay. Every once in a while, he might come over, you pat him, and you keep him moving. But the niggas that get all excited and like, no. I don't do none of that. Get off me. Don't touch me. So, but I've pretended to tolerate that simply because I was trying to talk to a girl. What is...
You weren't playing with the dog.
What's up? Hey, boy. And then like, I fucking faked the shit out of it, man. What's something that you faked to get the draws? Trey just licked his fingers. It looked like you were going through a notebook of like, things that I think to get the draw. Chapter 17.
No, sir. I was cleaning off my laptop. I do not have a manual. But I will say, jeez, man, I don't know. Me be trying to get us set up. I mean, Jared's married now, bro.
We all talk about the past.
And he just make me feel like a sleazeball. But
no.
One thing I think I faked. Damn. I think I pretended to like some shit. I actually end up like that's the thing. I faked my way into it and end up enjoying it later.
Oh, really? Like pretending to like a dog and then actually like Waz now is a dog guy.
Oh yeah, yeah.
We're not
it
anymore.
No dog shit like not that anymore. Though.
R.I.P. R.I.P. Ted.
It was some shit like. I was art. I liked to draw as a kid, but like, I don't think I was crazy about it. Like I remember it was a chick I was trying to get with, like 2013, 2014, I want to say, and I was like, yo, I just dove crazy deep into it for like 2 weeks.
Wow.
Went to art museums and shit. Fam, art museums and everything, bro. And then I just really start getting really tapped into it. I was like, oh, shit, I actually do like this shit. You know what I'm saying? But it works.
Trey, you know who you are. You know who you are, right?
Who?
Your undercover brother. Remember when he went undercover to go out with a white woman, and then like 2 weeks later, like, excuse me?
Yeah.
He's like, thank you very much.
Yeah, hey, man, it's sicko mode.
You slept
man.
With a white girl. Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, man, I tried to have a different palette of life, man, at that particular time, and it worked out.
Was she white?
Look at Jay's face, man. Jared, why you got that face, bro?
I was expecting a response. My bad. I'm about to disappoint y'all. I don't have a story.
Always been real
always been
as
a
hell,
real nigga.
I've been real from day one.
it ain't no chick that told me step my game up.
No, I'm just I can't think of any time I ever just like acted like I liked something, cause I'm not good at that. Like it's gonna show on my face. Like there's no way I can front that.
I feel you.
Oh man, I fronted so many times. And you know the funny thing is, once you get past it, it's like this shit takes off. And then like at some point, it's like I thought you liked dogs. Nah, not really. Like you do one of them things. But yeah, man, like. I like it's not nothing crazy. Like I don't walk around saying like, "Yo, I'm a millionaire," and actually, no, I live with my mom. Or whatever. I don't do that. But it's like little things, cosmetic things, things that would not get in the way of a relationship, but it would definitely get in the way of entering a relationship. Like if I said I don't like dogs, this chick ain't even want to talk to me. But if I pretend to kind of like dogs, maybe we talk and maybe we find out all these other things that we have in common and that we like, and then I can reveal my truth. I feel like, yeah, man, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Like, as long as it's not something devastating, like, I have coronavirus like, and I'm hiding it or whatever, then that's not good. You don't want to lie to people that way. Is there anything else that we want to talk about from John Brown? I'm really excited to see where this story goes. I know my man gets hung at the end, but, you know, I still want to see the kind of the process of it goes. Oh, there's other thing that happened. You know, obviously, every time I watch slave shows or slave movies and they talk about the power of people knowing that you could read and write. And to the point where he's like, I need to get some paper. She's like, hell no, I'm not going to get you paper. It's like, because that is like, why would, as you think about it as a slave, why would you need paper? Oh, I was going to make some paper airplanes. No, you're trying to write something. You're trying to fake a pass or whatever. It's crazy because to me, whenever people talk about education gap in this country, it's like, you always got to remember, man, like, 200 years ago, whatever, like people were getting killed for being able to read. 150 years ago, people were getting killed for being able to read.
We take a lot of shit for granted that we weren't able to do, man. A long time ago.
Absolutely. And then the other thing was the part where the judge says, hey, they were trying to forge some passes so they can come back and kill everybody. Well, later on, I found out he was actually right. But at the time, I was like, look at this nigga trumping up the charges, like just building up charges. It's like people talking about the protesters. They just want to move into white neighborhoods and kill and rape everybody. Like, no, we don't. We're just trying to We want equality. But then old girl was like, yeah, I was going to come and kill you first, preacher, and your wife. Oh, and she said that she's going to kill the preacher and his wife first? Not because you deserve it, but because I got to prove to my followers that I'm about this life. And then when they hung her, they didn't even hang her. Old girl just walked off the shit. That was
gangster.
Gangster as hell, man. She wouldn't even let them put the bag over her head. She just like, oh, it's on my neck now? Boom.
I bet.
Let's do this. Wild. Y'all should watch this show. It's great. And, you know, I'm going to try to do some research, figure out if it's historically accurate or not. Any other observations from the Lord, Free Lord, God, Bird? John Brown?
I don't know. It had slight humor. I thought Ethan Hawke was very funny to me. You know, he shows a different side. I'm trying to see him from another viewpoint. Also, I'm really out on slave shit, but this is just like hilarious too. It has like a spin on it. It doesn't give me Django vibes. Like Django made me laugh too fucking much, and I shouldn't enjoy that as much as I did. But yeah, here and there, bro. Like just different things. And I'm really trying to adore this main character. Onion, but I don't sit right with me. Him, I mean, I understand the circumstances, him being in his dress. I really want him to get out of his dress. And if that is what if that's who he's going to aspire to be, then great. But like,
he don't want to aspire to be it. The motherfucker's afraid for his life, man.
Yeah, like, I mean, he getting a little boner being around pie and everything.
Yeah, shit was nuts. Pie, man.
Pie is what niggas still dealing with to this day. So I'm not.
There's a lot of pies out here, guys.
It's a lot of pies out here, fam. But yeah, like I'm fucking with the show. I think I have to just stop complaining about the time, because like when you said two episodes, I was like, fam, okay, 30. I could eat this hour. That shit was 2 hours. I'm telling you that COVID hours is different than the regular hours. So. You feel me? You got watching everything, and I maybe should have watched it a little earlier, but I do think that you said it's a miniseries?
It's a miniseries, yes. So this is not, they're not going to be a season two of this. They catch him.
Okay. So, no, I'm not mad about it. My thing was just trying to understand.
Paul Mooney used to have a joke.
I think it can improve. The fact that he keeps ending up with John Brown is hilarious, though.
Paul Mooney had a joke called The Last White Man on Earth. He said, I sold my script to Hollywood. It's called The Last White Man on Earth. He said, don't look for a sequel. We catch him. He said, we spend half the movie smacking around Diana Ross and Whoopi Goldberg. Where is he, bitch? I know you know where he is. Where is he? Look, I don't condone domestic violence or whatever, violence against women, but that's a funny-ass joke, man. That is a funny, funny joke. Well, let's do this, then. Let's put a bow on it. Let's wrap it up here. Thank you, Rob Lopez. He of the Puerto Rican Flan producing the show. Thank you, Big Jerv. He of the, always been Big Jerv always his entire life. Never had to lie to a woman to gain her favor. Shout out to Black Trey in those 2 weeks where he became an art major. And shout out to you, the listener, for listening, subscribing, downloading, rating, reviewing, sharing. Sharing is caring. Tweet it out. Post it on Instagram. Tag us. At John Gervais, at Trayvon, at Darth the Mean, at Roboto. We're here. We will retweet you. We will get you more followers. Just tag us. Let us know you're listening. Let us know you enjoy it so we can give you more. And as always, remember, Crazy Sexy Cool on Mondays. Wednesday sermons on Wednesdays. Woke Bros on Thursdays. Going up the same on Fridays. It's the Bomb Network. It's Count the Dings, the number one independent podcast company in the world. Sayonara.